This is Bleed Tech Blue, the only all-LaTeX sports radio show. For the next 90 minutes, Bleed Tech Blue will bring you the best LaTeX coverage in the state of Louisiana. Here's your host, Jonathan Ford.
Welcome back to Bleed Tech Blue Radio, of course, here on ESPN Radio 97.7, a Thanksgiving hiatus, if you will. I hope you ate too much, just like Jason and I did. I can promise you Jason did, and I can promise you I did.
Yeah, I gained about 5 pounds. I'm just starting to climb back down the scale a little bit.
There you go. Visit one of our sponsors, National Jewelry, Dowling Smokehouse, Maxwell's Market, Greg Phillips, State Farm, Fairway Carts, Tommy's Tees, Rustin Tractor. Send us an email, radio@bleedtechblue.com. Give us a call on a Rustin Tractor hotline, 888-993-7762. Jason, a huge day in news around Louisiana Tech, around Conference USA. Where do you want to start?
Oh, my gosh. If you're like me, you're probably – everybody's in their bunker, in their basement. Conference realignment, coaching search. This is like the ultimate day. This is Christmas for us college football internet nerd guys. I mean, this is it.
It's Christmas unless it's bad news, and today was bad news pretty much on all those fronts. If you're a Louisiana Tech fan, Conference USA was raided once again. This time, of all people, the Big East picks up Tulane.
Yeah.
First off, doesn't make any sense.
They were rumored last year, you know, because they're in a big market. They got a lot of alums up in the Northeast, blah, blah, blah. They're in a big market. Yeah, yeah. And they were even rumored at one point for the Big 12. I mean, just because of their history and their big city. And it makes sense. The Big East went and got Memphis, you know, Houston, Central Florida. They're going after the big markets just like Conference USA did. And that's why Conference USA is turning around and losing them. But I was disappointed because when we joined the conference, you know, we wanted to be in with Memphis and Houston, SMU, and they were gone. You want to be in with the local teams, Southern Miss and Tulane, and also the historical power, East Carolina. And now, you know, two of those three are gone. You're left with Southern Miss. Obviously, we want to be tied in with Southern Miss, Rice, Tulsa. That's about it.
And then, of course, the other news, we'll get more into the conference realignment stuff. The other news, Sonny Dykes being rumored for the North Carolina State job. Within the last 15 minutes, it came out that the WRAL in Raleigh is saying that Sonny Dykes is the North Carolina State's top choice to fill its vacancy.
Yeah, a footballscoop.com came out about an hour ago and said sources tell us that NC State is indeed interested in Dykes. There's starting to be some smoke to this that's pretty serious. You know, you get a little smoke with the Kentucky job or, you know, the Cal job or whatever, but the NC State job, and they just fired their coach, what, a day ago? And then we're already seeing stuff pop up. And I guess really who else would they look at? That's kind of my deal, because it seems like a foregone conclusion that he's going to be the top three or four candidate in about five or six of these jobs. So who's he up against with NC State?
Well, the Dave Durin, of course, the Northern Illinois coach, he's being mentioned. Sonny's being mentioned.
The San Jose State coach is being mentioned for a lot of these jobs. He was at Duke recently.
The Daryl Hazell, I think is how you say it, at Kent State, he's being mentioned. Butch Jones at Cincinnati's being mentioned. Gus Malzahn's being mentioned. Chad Morris at Clemson, the offensive coordinator.
Who makes over $1 million a year.
The highest paid assistant in the game. He's being mentioned. Charlie Strong, who's been mentioned, I think for the Ruston High School job, even though they're happy with that head coach. Charlie Strong's been mentioned for that job.
Well, I think the Patriots are even considered to be talking to him. I mean, he's like up for every job.
He is. Does it surprise me that Sonny's being mentioned as the number one choice for that job? No, absolutely not.
The only thing that's weird to me is he's got ties to Texas, Arizona, Pac-10, Big 12. NC State, you know, it's kind of weird.
It's kind of out of his footprint.
If you're in North Carolina, you've got to recruit, obviously, Georgia. The Carolinas, but Georgia and Florida are going to be huge, and then Virginia to a smaller extent. You know, maybe he brings
You're going to pick some kids out of Texas. You're going to.
Yeah, and West Virginia's already showing they can do that. They've got an offensive coordinator and a defensive line coach from the state of Texas, and they're already recruting kids against Louisiana Tech from the Texas
JUCOs. But at the same time, West Virginia plays in the Big 12.
They do play in the Big 12. But, you know, is it a stretch to get Texas kids over there, Louisiana kids even? Maybe not.
No.
But you can get 10 kids in your home state, and then they can go to South Carolina, Georgia, Florida, and get another 10. You don't have to rely on his recruiting ties to Texas. I'm sure they'll go pick up a few kids, especially the JC guys. They're looking to play in the ACC. And, you know, if you're looking at job openings in the SEC and you've got the juggernauts, LSU and Alabama, to deal with every year, or if you're in the Pac-10 or 12 or whatever you want to call it, and you've got USC and now Oregon and Stanford.
I've always stood by this, Jason. You can attest to this, that I've always said that Sonny Dykes would more than likely not go to the SEC.
Yeah.
I've always thought it would be Big 12, Pac-12. Does the ACC kind of surprise me? Sure.
The main thing is, I think he's got to see it as a chance to win because – you know, but you can beat Duke, Wake Forest, and North Carolina in your own state, and you've got Boston College, potentially UConn coming in, Miami's down.
Florida State's probably leaving.
You know, Florida State, Virginia Tech, Clemson. I mean,
Virginia Tech's down right now. They're probably leaving too, though.
Yeah, I mean, there's no telling who's going to be there and who's leaving, but...
But, yeah, I mean,
that's the place you can win.
The other place that he's been mentioned, of course, Kentucky. They just filled it with Mark Stoops, the defensive coordinator from Florida State. Ironically enough, coached with Sonny Dykes at Arizona.
Well, and one name that is rumored to be going with him is a guy that I've been watching for the last year is James Coley, offensive coordinator in quotes, because Jimbo Fisher calls the plays at Florida State, but his offensive coordinator might be going to Kentucky.
And Jimbo Fisher may not be happy. He's being mentioned to go other places as well.
Well, he's losing his staff. But anyway, this guy was a guy that I was looking at down the road that might be a potential candidate for a head coaching job somewhere, and now he's going to get a chance to be his own offensive coordinator and actually call plays at Kentucky, possibly.
But then you look at Cal. Cal is another place, and Cal's the job that I really think that Sonny would prefer over NC State. But does he take the gamble, if NC State offers before Cal does he take the gamble and wait for Cal?
I think, obviously, he was not willing to take the gamble with Kentucky, but will he with NC State? Probably. I think so. Cal's got great facilities, a huge junior college base over there. I mean, there's a ton of talented players in California you can just load up on. We've seen them over here with Ray Holly, all the quarterbacks we brought in. I mean, there's just endless – all the offensive linemen. Yes. There's endless offensive players out there, and I'm sure there are on defense too. But that'd be risky.
It's called – people wonder why. $2.5 million or more. That's what all these jobs that we're talking about will pay. And
a guy
only has X number of years to provide for his family in his lifetime. And he's in his wheelhouse, if you will, in that time of his life. He's got to make the most money possible.
Yeah, I said this about Derek Dooley. He was not going to leave for a Mississippi school or for a Kentucky, something like that. He was going to wait until the right job came along, and just it fell into his lap at Tennessee. Now, did it work out? No. He inherited an impossible situation. Obviously, you got to beat Kentucky last year. You got to beat Missouri this year. It didn't work out.
But $5 million to walk away?
Yeah, so he's not hurting for money.
No.
He went to a good situation money-wise, and that's what Dykes is going to do. If these two jobs that we're talking about, Cal or NC State, don't work out for him, he'll stick around another year or two. One of those jobs, you know, a job like that will open up. You know, he's got time. He's got time to sit back, you know, do a good job, and basically refine his skills and get better. And you know, who knows, next year in 2 years, a bigger job will come open and they'll come looking for him. But it's kind of funny to me, most of these jobs that are being thrown around, the Utah State head coach, the San Jose State head coach, they're getting thrown in the mix too. You see the Arkansas State guy's name a little bit, Louisiana Lafayette. There's endless guys out there, a lot of coordinators. And you talked about the Western Kentucky guy, the Kent State.
Well, let's switch gears a little bit more. I know it's going to be kind of a random show because we got an hour and a half to fill with San Jose State game, conference realignment, Sonny Dykes, basketball. Leah Beasley's joining us at 6:30 to talk about the high attendance
pack
game.
Pack
the House Challenge Saturday against Ole Miss, the Lady Texans and Ole Miss. So she'll could be coming, joining us at 6:30. Let's talk a little bit more about Conference USA, losing two teams. What could be on the horizon? Jason, I firmly believe that to fill the, if they decide to fill those holes, of course, they went to 14. Some, including myself, think that they did that on purpose to pad themselves for attrition. The attrition's already happened. Will Tulsa get picked up next? It's possible. I talked to somebody in Tulsa today that said that the Tulsa president was not real keen on the idea of going to the Big East. But take that for what it's worth. Were they offered? Were they not offered? Is that the reason he said it? Is that the reason he felt that way? You don't know all the circumstances surrounding it. But if they decide to pick up two more schools to fill those holes, I firmly believe any any school that Conference USA asks from the Sun Belt will jump?
Yeah, I think you'll see it two ways. I think Middle Tennessee's a lock, and then they'll either do this. They'll say, okay, we want Middle Tennessee, and they're going to be kind of a travel partner or groups in with UAB, and then we'll add a Florida Atlantic, big Palm Beach market down there, and be kind of a travel partner with Florida International. Or they could take Middle Tennessee and Western Kentucky together and kind of fill in that void that you have between the three teams east, Marshall, Old Dominion, Charlotte. Then you put teams in Kentucky and Tennessee to kind of fill in between them and us and Southern Miss and UAB. So Middle Tennessee, I think, is a lot. I think Kentucky or Florida Atlantic will probably be your other one. Arkansas State.
I don't see Florida Atlantic.
I don't see them as far as winning, but
I don't see FIU letting it happen.
You know, South Florida didn't keep Central Florida out of USA. If they care about market and they care about travel, you know, that might be all that matters.
But if you use that logic, then South Alabama may be there because Mobile's a big market.
Yeah, and they've got historically good basketball, so. We'll see, but
I don't think that this is as bad of a deal as it appears on the outside looking in for Louisiana Tech. They lose a bell cow in ECU. There's no doubt about that. But they lose Tulane, who has been bad at everything. Let's call it like it is. They're good at two sports that don't matter, that don't bring in the money: women's basketball and baseball.
Yeah.
I mean, those sports matter. I'm not saying that they don't, but they don't pay the bills.
Yeah, and yeah, we lose a state team and a bell cow, like you call it, East Carolina, but you've still got teams we want to be close to that we can travel to in UAB, Tulsa, and Rice. And
Southern Miss.
And then Southern Miss is the team we want to be like. We want to be with them. They had 20
except
straight.
Except for their 0-12 this year.
Yeah, before that, they had 20 straight winning seasons or something like that. A lot of success. And Tech's trying to get that consistency going. So you still have something to keep. Now, will Tulsa and UTEP jump to the Mountain West? Will they be invited? Who knows?
It's possible.
You probably just replace
more so UTEP than probably Tulsa, because Tulsa really is kind of on an island. They're in eastern Oklahoma.
Yeah.
It's not a real easy place to get to from the west.
They're not close to anybody, but, you know, I mean, if you lost UTEP, you just bring in New
Mexico
State.
They're close to Fayetteville.
Yeah, it's Springfield, Missouri. Bass Pro Shops. But, you know, you lose UTEP, you bring in New Mexico State. You know, it's
because they're both good at the same thing, men's basketball.
Yeah, and New Mexico State's a good men's basketball team. It's the same distance. It's 30 miles further. You know,
what difference does it make?
It doesn't make a difference. But then you can think outside the box. They're not necessarily going to look at Sun Belt teams. They brought in Charlotte and Old Dominion recently. They're obviously trying to get up into the Northeast a little bit more. Do they go even further into Virginia and get James Madison? You know, they've had a lot of success, a former Old Dominion rival. Or do they go up to Ohio and look at Ohio or Akron? Big markets, you know, from the MAC. Ohio's really good in basketball. Started out 8-0 in football this year, kind of fell off. You know, I don't know if they'll go after MAC teams, but you do have Marshall that was from the MAC, so they might see that as an opportunity to come in and maybe get some more exposure, because it seems like the MAC teams kind of – they had to play on Wednesday night just to get any kind of exposure.
Well, let's take a break. On the other side of the break, we'll talk San Jose State game. The football team, of course, did not play well on the road in San Jose, a long way from home, and came up short. We'll also talk little Sonny Dykes coaching rumors. And also in the last segment, the 7:15 hour, seven segments, 15 minutes, we'll be giving away two courtside seats to Louisiana Tech Southeastern tomorrow night inside the Thomas Assembly Center. So stay tuned. We'll have that giveaway in the 7:15 segment. This is Bleed Tech Blue Radio on ESPN Radio 90. Welcome back to Bleed Tech Blue Radio here on ESPN Radio 97.7. My boy Ryan Cavanaugh, the Ginger Ninja, pulling me some Tyler Reed, a local band, as a bumper music. You gotta love that. Thank you, Ginger Ninja. He's not our producer. Joe Dart's in here with us. Joe Dart, of course, we appreciate you being here as well.
Jose Derte.
Jose Derte. Send us an email to radio at bleedtechblue.com. Any Louisiana Tech question you might have, whether it's Sonny Dykes,
All right, so
Sonny Dykes, conference realignment, you let us know. Give us a call, Rustin Tractor Hotline, 888-993-7762. Visit one of our sponsors, National Jewelry, Dowling Smokehouse, Maxwell's Market, Greg Phillips State Farm, Fairway Carts, Tommy's Tees, and Rustin Tractor.
So Dykes is getting mentioned for this NC State deal. 45 minutes ago, WRALsportsfan.com said that they are thinking he's the primary target. They're having an emergency meeting tomorrow with their board of trustees. Last year, the same website reported that Larry Fedora from Southern Miss had agreed to be the UNC coach. The next day, they had that emergency board meeting. 2 days later, he's formally introduced. So they're saying it's following the same timeline. So maybe there's more to this smoke than just smoke. There might be some real fire here. Now, they just announced, what, yesterday that Tech's opening the season at NC State? Is that related, or is that just the weirdest coincidence ever?
That game's been done for several weeks. It's just coincidence. Now, how awkward will that be should Sonny Dykes become the head coach at NC State? Game one next year, the Bulldogs go on the road and play the Wolfpack.
And every player on that team's going to be gunning for him, obviously, because they want to beat their old coach. But
gunning for him, I think that's a bad word. Well, they want to beat their old coach, absolutely, yeah. But they want to beat everybody.
Yeah. It would be very awkward, but, hey, who knows?
Well, Jason, let's talk about that San Jose State game. The offense didn't play up to par.
Do we have to?
Yeah, we have to. Well, we don't have to, but we're going to. San Jose State stacked the box, forced Louisiana Tech to throw the ball. Colby Cameron did not have his best outing, to say the least, threw three interceptions, all to the same player.
So I'm thinking all year that he has not shown the most accuracy. You know, he'll throw it at people's feet sometimes, or he'll throw it over their head. But then again, he's really efficient and was leading the country in, you know, passes without an interception. And then all of a sudden, does it just finally catch up to him? Were they stuffed the box and forced him to make bad throws that forced the ball in there? I mean, those two in the end zone 2 weeks ago, golly, those were really bad. It just seemed like everything kind of fell apart at the wrong time for Tech. I mean, the Bulldogs were trying to get in the Orange Bowl, you know, top 20 ranking, and then the wheels just kind of came off. 12 straight weeks, no bye week, you know, several injuries on defense. The defense is always on the field because Tech scores so fast, leads the country in total yards and points. And I don't, you know, Patrick Walsh has the stat out there of how many touchdowns Tech scored under 2 minutes, which is phenomenal.
How big of a deal do you think that no bye week was? And, you know, I hate excuses, and you know that about me.
That's what I'm trying to ask, I guess, is are all these excuses something we should listen to? Or is it just the fact that, hey, every team's going to get worn down at the end of the year? The offense for Tech is strong. I mean, they get out there and they run people down. The offensive line, you know, really puts the pedal to the metal and gets up there, snaps the ball, pushes. They weren't having problems with conditioning. I think maybe a big problem was losing Adrian Cole. And then you had a guy like Solomon Randall who could set the defense and kind of be that captain back there, but he didn't have the physical ability as Cole. But then he's hurt, and then Hester gets hurt. Porter's out. So you're losing all these linebackers. Is that the big hole in the middle of your defense that's causing all these problems? You know, I don't know. I think there's a lot of factors that led to the defense not being able to stop anybody. But Tech got behind again, like they had been doing, but came back and took the lead at halftime this week. So I thought it was going to be a different outcome than Utah State, where they were way down and had to come from way back late in the game. Got the lead. But then the fourth quarter just totally ran out of gas, and San Jose State
did not.
They wanted it more. I mean, they were.
And while we're on the excuse train, might as well stay on it. That game ended at 2 o'clock in the morning.
Yeah, and, you know, they have 2 hours more of a head start.
But, it's, you know, one of the greatest sayings in American history, if ifs and buts were candy and nuts, we'd all have a Merry Christmas.
Yeah.
And it's the truth.
Yeah.
But I want you to have a Merry Christmas anyway.
Yeah, and it's woulda, coulda, shoulda. But you know what? 9 wins for the first time since 97. Still a great – we hadn't even gotten into what bowl we might get in.
I actually forgot to put that on the outline. We might as well talk about that in this segment as well.
I'm really hoping for Liberty Bowl.
Still an option.
I know we've had no contact with the Music City, but it's out there. And, you know, CBS Sports is putting Ball State and Bowling Green in those two bowls. You know, why would they pick a fourth or fifth place MAC team? Well, over a third place WAC team, I get it. But we're what, 6 hours from Memphis? That makes a lot of sense.
And then you look at the other options for Louisiana Tech. Liberty is one option. I understand Heart of Dallas is an option. And also, of course, the Independence Bowl. Jason, there's been some discussion today of whether Louisiana Tech is flexing its proverbial muscles, if you will. And I'm with some of the callers in Bayou Sports Line about how much muscles does Tech really have to flex when it comes to not allowing a certain team, whether it's ULM, whether it's any Sun Belt team, into the game against Tech. What are your thoughts on that?
The word was 4 years ago that Dooley had wanted nothing to do with the Cajuns. Didn't want to play them in that bowl game. They got a MAC team in there. Was that all his doing? I don't know. Would they really threaten to not come if the Independence Bowl said, look, we want ULM, we want Arkansas State, we want a regional team that's going to sell tickets. Will Tech really threaten to not come and actually stand up to that and not come? Surely not. I don't think Tech's got enough clout to do that.
But at the same time, the reason that I think that the Independence Bowl may listen to Tech, I'm not saying they're going to do what Tech wants them to do. Why I think the Independence Bowl may listen to Tech is, of course, they played a game over there this year, and it was, what was it, the fifth largest crowd in Independence Stadium history?
Yeah.
If that continues, and we think it will, the rumor on the street is that one of the Conference USA stipulations for Tech was that they have to play an AQ conference school in Independence Stadium each year. Now, it's not going to happen next year, but they are playing in Dallas as a home game against Army. So that's essentially the same thing. But does the Shreveport Sports Authority want to lose that relationship? Probably not. Can you imagine how much money they made this year, earlier in the year, with the A&M game?
Yeah.
A ton.
And obviously, they'd get more attendance from a Sun Belt team than the MAC team, but would it really be a whole lot more? Northern Illinois brought a few fans 4 years ago. I'm sure they would take Tech's thoughts into consideration, but at the end of the day, if they're picking between, say, ULM and Ohio.
I venture to say this, Jason. If Tech does play in the Independence Bowl, and to me, right now, it seems that that's probably a 60% chance. Let me go ahead and put that out there. I would say that. I'm pulling that out of the clear blue sky, but that is completely made up. But I would say that there won't be as many Louisiana Tech fans at the Independence Bowl game as there was for the A&M game.
No, because we'd been there, done that. We had the bowl game there 4 years ago.
We already played there this year.
And then played there this year. So the newness is kind of worn off. There's the disappointment of the last two losses. Yeah, I mean, it wouldn't be as well attended. It'd still be okay.
It's Independence Stadium.
Yeah, it'd still be okay, but...
And the stigma goes along with it.
I just don't think it would be... Tech fans wouldn't be coming out in full force. They wouldn't be 100% excited. The Dallas one I like because you got a chance to play a Big Ten or a Big 12 team. I'd love to take a shot at Minnesota or Purdue.
Minnesota?
Yeah.
Don't you know, Bobby?
Or you get in a shootout with West Virginia, Baylor, Texas Tech. You know, it'd be exciting. You know, he'd probably be 150 points scoring in that game. But I think Dallas is more of a destination for Tech fans. It's drivable. Obviously, Memphis
is
too.
There's a huge alumni base in Dallas for Louisiana Tech.
Yeah, so, I mean, Dallas, Fort Worth, Memphis, those are places that Tech fans can drive to. The players get to feel like they're going on a trip and being at a bowl, whereas not knocking Shreveport, but it's an hour away. They play there already.
They go there. The players go there on the weekends when they do have a bye. They didn't have a bye this year, but during the off season, I guarantee you there's a lot of time spent at Shreveport at the casinos. I know that's probably a faux pas that a lot of people don't want to know, but that's what's happening.
Yeah, because they got really good food options, right?
Absolutely. Yeah. The casinos have great food. Yeah. You can't spend any money at casinos. Everything's free. Everything. But let's take a break. And on the other side of the break, we're going to talk to Leah Beasley, talk about the Pack the House Challenge, Lady Texters versus Ole Miss, Saturday inside the TAC. This is Bleed Tech Blue Radio on ESPN Radio 97.7. another one. Ginger Ninja, he keeps on giving, even when he's not here. More Tyler Reed coming at you. Radio at BleedTechBlue.com. Send us an email. Give us your thoughts. Sonny Dykes possibly going to NC State. Your thoughts on the Conference USA news today. Tulane to the Big East. East Carolina to the Big East is a football only. And, of course, Conference USA is an all-sports conference. You can't be a partial member. So they will be leaving Conference USA. Visit one of our sponsors, National Jewelry, Dowling Smokehouse, Maxwell's Market, Greg Phillips State Farm, Fairway Carts, Tommy's Tees, and Rustin Tractor. Joining us on the phone lines, Leah Beasley, Director of Marketing for Louisiana Tech Athletics.
Hey, guys. How are you?
How's it going, Leah? How many times do you get a different title?
Right? That does seem like that, doesn't it?
I come up with a new one every time you come on the show.
Hey, it's all good. It's all good.
They all mean the same.
Exactly.
So, Leah, you got a little bit of a big event coming Saturday inside the TAC. Tell us about it.
We got a lot going on. It's the 6th annual Tech the House Challenge. NCAA has sponsored it every single year. Louisiana Tech has won every single year, 5 years in a row. Only school in the nation to have done that. But NCAA is not sponsoring it this year. However, because we love our fans, and our fans love Tech the House, and so do our Techsters, we are going to continue doing it this year. We're pulling out all the stops just like we always do. We're going to give a lot to our fans. We have the free food, which we have every single year. Here on the concourse of the TAC, we have an awesome band coming in, and it's not just a little local band. I mean, it is. They're called US Band. It's an 80s hair band, we've heard a lot of their stuff, seen a lot of their videos, and they really are legit. They're awesome. They're coming in to start playing about 5 o'clock on Saturday. So everything gets started around 5:30 Saturday, December 1st, at the front of the TAC. Then we'll go straight to the food. We have a petting zoo by the Louisiana Purchase Gardens and Zoo. They're coming up. Skip Russell is graciously bringing his miniature 18-inch horses. Have you ever seen one of those little tiny horses?
They kind of scare me, Lee. I gotta be honest. They kind of freak me out.
Yeah, but the kids do love them, and they'll stay out there and not want to come into the game.
Listen to Jason. As soon as I say something negative, he's got to, no. Don't listen to Jay Ford. They're not freaky at all.
I've actually been around them enough times. I'm telling you, the kids will love them.
Yeah, they're pretty awesome. They look like real horses. They're just small. But and then right after that, head straight inside, and we have the food ready to go. And then we have the throwback Teresa Weatherspoon number 11 jersey T-shirts, and they're pretty awesome. They're blue, and they look like one of her old jerseys that she used to wear back in the 80s, and it looks awesome. So these shirts are going to be available around 6 p.m. on the concourse, and we have some 80s style sunglasses. The theme is kind of going with like an old school. It's called Out with the Old, as in Ole Miss, and In with the Blue, Lady Texter Blue. That's our theme for this year. So it's kind of like an old school theme and kind of reliving the legacy of the Lady Texters, as well as just still highlighting, you know, a lot of our upbeat, fast tempo basketball that we have on the court today. So it's going to be an awesome night. Kids 17 and under, get in for free, absolutely free. And all other tickets are only $5. So,
hey, 1980s prices too. Can't beat that.
Exactly. See, that's what we're trying to do here.
Jason remembers 1980s prices, while the rest of us do not.
Hey, I remember 1980s hair bands too. Oh yeah.
Oh, you got to come see it. It's gonna be awesome.
Leah, if you had to choose your favorite promotion of this one, and I know you're like a mother. You can't pick a favorite child, but I'm making you. Promotion for this event, which one is it?
It would have to be the Weatherspoon jersey T-shirts. It would have to be that, because they are going to be awesome. I think our fans are really going to love them. So we have about 600 of those coming in. We have over 2,000 sunglasses for 80 style sunglasses. So we have a lot for our fans to get for free. Not to mention the free food for everybody. The best ball game is going to be awesome. Ole Miss SEC versus our Lady Texters. So it's going to be a free concert. I mean, you can't beat free entertainment, free basketball, free food all night long. The petting zoo, they have the huge snakes and iguanas. I mean, I could keep going on and on and on. But Austin, the Flying Lion, I don't know if you've seen that, the dog at Tailgate Alley on football games, but he's going to be performing, I guess you could say, at halftime. So from start to finish, from 5:30 till the end of the game, we're going to have a lot of promotions for everyone.
Speaking of Austin, the Flying Lion, have you seen the story? Of course, Austin was out in Venice Beach with his owner and was stolen. Have you seen the video that the community of Venice Beach got around searching for Austin? It's a really cool video. If you get a chance, search it on the Google machine, Austin Flying Lion, and look and find the video.
And of course,
his owner is John Mitchell, and whose dad is my favorite bricklayer, Johnny Mitchell. He's the man.
Awesome. Well, they will be there.
He's Leah's favorite bricklayer too. Isn't that right, Leah?
Yes, always.
All right, Leah. Anything else?
That's it. 5:30 on. You can't beat it. Free entertainment, free food, free everything. $5 if you're not 17 and under.
There you go. If you're in Ruston, even if you're not in Ruston, make your way to Ruston Saturday for the Pack the House Challenge at Louisiana Tech as Ole Miss takes on the Lady Texters inside the Tack. Make sure you check it out.
Awesome. Thank you, guys.
Thanks, Leah. We appreciate it.
Thanks.
Let's take an early break. On the other side of the break, we're going to talk more conference stuff, maybe a little Sonny Dykes, maybe a little football. Welcome back to Bleed Tech Blue Radio here on ESPN Radio 97.7. I am Jay Ford, publisher of BleedTechBlue.com. Jason Jones, staff writer, recruiting analyst, jack of all trades, joining me here on the show. Send us an email, radio at BleedTechBlue.com. Give us your thoughts on the possibility of Sonny Dykes leaving. If you want it read on the air, let us know. Give us a call, just like Rafe did. Rusted Tractor Hotline, 888-993-7762. Visit one of our sponsors, National Jewelry, Dowling Smokehouse, Maxwell's Market, Greg Phillips State Farm, Fairway Carts, Tommy's Tees, and Rustin Tractor. Let's go to that Rustin Tractor Hotline and our friend Rafe, who might as well be a co-host of Bleed Tech Blue Radio. How you doing, Rafe?
I'm doing great, man. How are you doing?
Doing wonderful.
Hey, wasn't it pretty popular the last decade or so for whenever you had a coach leave a program, one of the contingencies upon leaving is that the program that he left to, there would be a home-and-home. I mean, I know I've heard of this before.
Yeah, I think one of the last ones that did it was like in basketball with Western Kentucky and Georgia. But it makes a lot of sense, but, you know, you'd hate to see the road game be the first game. You don't want to see that home game, you know, scheduled on or put on paper, so it's a done deal.
Yeah, I mean, that's the only reason why it kind of, you know, the NC State seemed just sort of coincidental for us to ink a contract with them and then find out later they're very interested in our head coach.
Well, let me just say this. The contract's been inked for months, or a month at least. So if this deal happened, backdoor deal with Dykes happened, that'd be pretty phenomenal on the part of their president and AD. I might have to give them a high five that they kept it quiet this long.
Well, maybe the AD, in researching, hey, do we really want to schedule this team? How many players are they losing? Maybe they looked into the program and said, hey, we like that coach.
And since we're losing our coach, let's go ahead and take theirs.
Well, they weren't necessarily losing theirs. I mean, they're moving fast. They fire him one day. They're scheduling Board of Trustees meetings the next day. You know, I just looked up the article from a year ago on ESPN where they hired Larry Fedora at North Carolina, and ESPN on December 7th is reporting that Fedora was going to be hired. They didn't have the Board of Trustees meeting until the next day, and they didn't hire him officially for two more days. It's following the same timeline. So NC State, they might have said, hey, we want this guy. Let's make a spot for him, and let's go get him. And, you know, that might be why Dykes' name was taken out of the Kentucky situation last night.
Yeah, it may have been. I mean, I didn't realize it was inked a month ago. You know, it just came public a week or so. And you know, we didn't have room for it, and so they had to make some room for it. And so it sounded like there could be some negotiation in that. But, I mean, maybe not. Maybe it's just, like you said, signed the contract, they realized that we had a pretty good football team and, you know, put everything together and realized he's worth interviewing at least.
Rafe, the room that they made for it was they moved the Houston game. I don't know if they're going to play it, if they canceled the series or what. I think they just postponed it for a couple of years in favor of playing another money game. And that's where the NC State game got added. They'll play a money game against Kansas as well next year. So they're playing two. And that's not a surprise. And they're, of course, playing next year as well in the Cotton Bowl. in the Heart of Dallas Classic. Is that right? Heart of Dallas,
it's something Conference USA put together, but hey, I like
with,
it.
With Army. So that's where they're making their money next year. So they thought they needed to add one more money game for budgetary purposes, because that's just how, of course, as you know, the non-AQ world works.
Yeah, I got you. It's just strange that we've never played NC State in our history, as far as I know. And I haven't. And even they haven't struck my mind as a possibility, but it's probably just a coincidence. Hey, the other elephant in the room is with this defection again from Conference USA. You know, as far as the reputation of the conference as being having turned into kind of a feeder conference like we just got away from, it just kind of takes a little bit of the enjoyment out of being invited, and especially dealing with how poorly the conference performed in football this year. I know that our team would make a difference in the conference. Tulsa has had a good year.
Getting rid of Tulane will help.
Yeah, getting rid of Tulane, but still, it's not like it doesn't have the prowess it once had.
No, but you think about it again from the outside, and you take a look at the big picture. Where else did Tech have to go? Were they going to stay in the WAC? Absolutely not. The last place that Tech wanted to be, rightfully or wrongfully, was the Sun Belt. So they are where they are, and honestly, when the pieces started moving last week or the week before with Maryland and Rutgers, it was just a matter of time before it all started again. And when you're a lower tier conference, you're the ones that are picked on. And if you are the one being picked on, it means that you're in the right place. How many times do you hear the Sun Belt getting picked up? And I'm not trying to badmouth the Sun Belt, but it's the truth.
Yeah, but their teams get rated, and our teams get rated.
But until you're in one of those conferences of the haves, you're going to be a have not, and you're going to get rated. It's just what it is.
Yeah, I wonder when we talk about who Conference USA is going to draw, and it's just an assumption that any Sun Belt school we're interested in would be interested in making the move, because it's not a lateral move, allegedly. But I remember they had some kind of alliance they signed, and then of course people don't keep those. But it'll be interesting to see how things shake out. I mean, it's just kind of a downer to see these schools jump off, and then it kind of makes you feel like, well, maybe we should be looking, proactively looking for the best situation.
I know it seems like a downer, and I said this earlier in the show. Getting rid of Tulane, I guess it stinks from a fan's perspective that you're not playing a team that's inside your state, but they're terrible. They're terrible at everything they do except for women's basketball and baseball, and they haven't even been that great at baseball of late. You lose East Carolina, and that's really the only one that's concerning. What's minus that one team, what's the big issue?
Yeah, it's really not, except for right initially when you lost SMU in Houston. Of course, that's how we're getting into the thing. And then, I don't really care about Tulane. What I care about is, what about Rice? What's going to happen with Tulsa? What's going to happen with these other schools? What type of opportunities are they going to get? Are they looking to get out, or, are they wanting to hold steady? I mean, somebody, hopefully the conference has good leadership, and like it's been brought up before, they need to form some sort of alliance or something with the Mountain West to solidify the schools, to where it's a desirable place to be, because the Big East is a burning planet too. Everybody's bailing out of that thing as fast as they can. Well, you're trying to get to the next one as well.
So if you look at the Big East now, with UConn probably headed out the door, if you have Louisville, Cincinnati, South Florida, Central Florida, Memphis, Houston, SMU, and now Tulane, East Carolina, that's Conference USA from 05 exactly. Everybody's left the Big East. They've replaced them with the Conference USA teams, and now you've got Conference USA is made up of old WAC teams like Tech, Tulsa, UTEP, Rice, and then a couple of teams like Marshall that came in from the MAC, or teams that moved
Rice
up.
Rice that came from the WAC, Tulsa that came from the WAC.
Yeah, I mean, the only teams that are old Conference USA really are Southern Miss, and then UAB joined in the late 90s. So it's really just totally a new conference. It really is.
Yeah, that's right. I mean, I guarantee that Louisville's going to leave the Big East. Guarantee
yeah.
you.
It, well, they will eventually, but they got to get a spot first. I'm sure, you know, they're fighting hard to get that spot
and see,
in
once,
the ACC. But
exactly.
To me, UConn makes the most sense because of their basketball and their market size.
The ACC will get rated. Then the Big East will get rated. And then the Big East, if they decide to raid Conference USA again, who will they pick up? Southern Miss has a small market. Louisiana Tech has a small market. Tulsa's got a decent sized market.
It has to be Tulsa.
But does Tulsa move?
Or would it be Marshall for football only, like East Carolina, just because they're in the footprint?
I'm interested to see what the TV money looks like of the Big East with this new look, Big East.
Well, and I'll tell you what, before they go coming after any more Conference USA teams, they might go to the MAC and get big market teams like Buffalo and Ohio or UMass. So they might be tired of taking Conference USA teams after the latest.
I mean, they didn't even give ECU a full ride.
Yeah, I saw that, football only. Hey, on another note, I tell you what, we lost a couple games here at the end of the season. They were well contested games. I watched the San Jose game again the other night, and you know, we're a possession away from winning that game. You know, a possession and a half, and then we all saw what happened to Utah State. And so that, you know, what is the significance of the? I saw that Kobe Cameron run the. Is it Bow? Is that how you pronounce the name?
Sammy Ball.
Sammy Ball.
Yeah, that award, is that the most prestigious quarterback award, or how? I mean, is that?
No, I believe it's the Maxwell.
The Maxwell's the most prestigious quarterback award.
Okay, and so this one, who was last year's winner? Do we know?
The Houston quarterback,
Case Keenum.
Okay, so it's kind of like the best of the rest quarterback. I mean, he's definitely. I mean, that's a big deal to go from, you know, beginning this year into winning that award. You got Patton that's going to play at the Senior Bowl. You know, it's been a great season with an almost feel to it, but you know, I'm not going to. Pretend like at the beginning of the season, I knew for a fact that we're going to be 9-3, and you know, in this situation.
Well, honestly, I mean, before the season, you know, before they added Texas A&M to the schedule, you know, I was talking about a 10 or 11 win season, and then when they changed Lamar out for A&M, I was thinking 9 or 10. You know, did I think that you'd beat Virginia and Illinois and Houston early on, but then lose to the last two WAC teams? No. But, you know, once we start out, you know.
Nor did we think that San Jose and Utah State would be so good either.
I mean, as we started winning and thinking, oh, yeah, the Orange Bowl, you know, we've been saying it for the last few weeks on this show, well, those last two games are going to be tough. You know, we got to get through these four easier games. Those last two, really tough, you know, and those teams are phenomenal this year. And they came out of nowhere even more than Tech did. And tremendously improved, and their two coaches are getting named for every job in the country, just like Coach Dykes is.
Yeah. So I mean, it was a good run. You know, I have no idea we're going to end up in a bowl or who we're going to play. I'm not really into discriminating against who we can play against. I mean, I want to, you know, whoever we play against, I want to be the best possible opponent. And, you know, I'm going to go to the game. So, you know, I don't get into this. I won't play this team or we won't play that team, whoever.
Yeah, I don't think Tech's in a position to do that. I think, obviously, you want to play against a bigger name school because you want a chance to knock them off, just like the Sun Belt teams. You know, I'm sure ULL in the New Orleans Bowl would rather get a chance to knock off a Big East team or something than whoever they're going to play.
Well, yeah, of course. If we can get an AQ team, that's what we'll get.
Yeah, if we can go to Dallas, if we get a shot at Purdue or Minnesota, you know, that'd be awesome because we've already been up there and beat Illinois. We know we can beat those teams, and it'd be fun, you know. And it's something that once you win, if you win, you know, it feels a little better than if you beat a MAC team or a Sun Belt team because they're another school that's in the boat that you are. You're not one of the big conferences.
Exactly. But that's what I'm saying. So if it gets to where it's not an AQ school, then at that point they're all about the same. I mean, is a MAC better than a Sun Belt? Is it better? I mean, as far as regional interest, I mean, just because you want to play a Sun Belt team, then, well, we'll play a MAC team that nobody's heard of.
Yeah, that nobody's
you know?
Heard
I mean,
of. Exactly.
I don't get that.
You're right.
You know, that's all I'm saying is that I understand the fact that if you have a Baylor versus a Arkansas State, obviously, you know, but if you're looking at a MAC versus a Sun Belt, then what's going to be, you know, create more interest? You know, that's my question.
Yeah, I agree. It would create more interest if it was a more regional team. Hey, I got one more question for you. You saw Rutgers and Louisville go down. If Tech had gone, you know, undefeated at the rest of the way after the A&M game, you know, a lot of the national websites were saying that Tech was the last hope of the non-BCS teams to get in that BCS bowl. And then when Tech lost, it was over. Well, now you see, you know, Utah State and San Jose have creeped in the rankings. You saw Ohio jump in and then lose. Then Northern Illinois jumped in and then lost. Well, now Kent State's come out of nowhere. Louisville and Rutgers lost, so you don't have any Big East teams ranked very high, if at all. Could Kent State, with one loss, be the BCS buster?
I see if they win next week they have a good chance of being that. I mean, nobody had the momentum that we had going into the Utah State game. There would be no doubt in my mind that we would not only be, you know, in the Orange Bowl, but be talked about as, you know, a viable participant because of what we accomplished. And so when you saw the collapse of, like you said, Rutgers and Louisville, and, you know, that's kind of sawed the wounds. But I think Kent State, if they win their – they have one more game to play, and if they win that one, it may be enough to propel them into the, you know, top under 16 or whatever.
Yeah, I'll tell you what, they get in, I'll be rooting for them. That should be really cool. I saw a few highlights this week of their coach, you know, doing halftime speech or whatever, pregame speech. I mean, he seems like a really fired up guy, and it looks like it'll be a lot of fun to play for him. And I guarantee you, they get in there against an ACC team and give them heck. You know, it'd be fun to watch.
Yeah, you're right. There's a lot of parity in college sports. There's not a big difference between Utah State and A&M. I mean, I saw both games. You know, that I would say Utah State had a better defense, and A&M had a better offense. It's a push between those two teams. And so, like you said, A&M beat Alabama, who supposedly, you know, they are. So, anyway, yeah, get sick of them playing with anybody. Yeah, there's a lot of teams that can do it.
Well, Rafe, like always, we appreciate the phone call.
All right, man. Yeah, have a good night.
Do exactly what Rafe did. Give us a call on the Rustin Tractor Hotline, 888-993-7762, and get into the Louisiana Tech Talk, whether it's Sonny Dykes possibly going to New York, North Carolina State, or Conference USA losing Tulane and East Carolina. Give us a call. We're going to take a break, and on the other side of the break, we'll talk a little basketball. How about that, Jason? We're going to talk basketball for.
We've got a 5-1 team in the house with a big game tomorrow. We need to talk about it.
5-1 game and two tickets for courtside seats, where you see the action and smell the action.
J4's got two tickets to paradise.
Two tickets to paradise.
Oh yeah,
good song. This is Bleed Tech Blue Radio on ESPN Radio 97.7. Let's go. Welcome back to Bleed Tech Blue Radio here on ESPN Radio 97.7. I am Jay Ford, publisher of BleedTechBlue.com. Send us an email, radio@BleedTechBlue.com. Rustin Tractor Hotline, 888-993-7762. Visit one of our sponsors, National Jewelry, Dowling Smokehouse, Maxwell's Market, Greg Phillips State Farm, Fairway Carts, Tommy's Tees, and, of course, Rustin Tractor. Jason, like you said, 5-1 Louisiana Tech Bulldog basketball team. It hasn't been the best, the hardest schedule in the world, but you know what? 5-1 is 5-1.
Well, and it's a better schedule than you saw a couple of years ago, or 3 years ago now, when you had a senior laden team, Magnum Roll. They ran off to 20-something wins and played Texas Pan Am or whoever. I mean, they'd play whoever would come here, trying to make it the easiest schedule in the country. And it burned them when you got into conference play. Well, Coach White showed, you know, he had a young team last year, got into the conference tournament, the team gelled, they got to the conference finals, and now I think they're just continuing right where they left off. He's got a really talented team. Raheem Appleby's doing the same thing he's been doing, scoring about 18 to 20 points, and then Cordarius Johnson's really stepped up to be that second option, and he's just an all-around good player. Brandon Gibbs is an all-around good player, showing leadership, and Mike Kaiser's giving him the defense on the inside. Speedy Smith is the most exciting point guard I've ever seen at Tech in my 15 years of following the team. I mean, he is dynamic. And so, I mean, it's a really fun team to watch. They're winning. You know, you're beating Sunbelt teams. You went and beat SEMO, an Ohio Valley team.
And you look at UALR, a team that they beat by 18.
Yeah.
That UALR went on the road the next game, or not the next game. They played SMU, of course, coached by Larry Brown.
From the NBA, yeah.
They beat them 69-56.
Yeah.
On the road.
Yeah, I mean, Coach Weiss got this team rolling. They're playing Southeastern tomorrow night, 7 o'clock. They went down there and stubbed their toe against Southeastern last year. So a little bit of a payback game for the Bulldogs. They'll want to right the ship on that one. You could be, talking about a 6-1 team. That's a really good start. And nowhere to go but up. He's got two high school kids that just signed on the dotted line that show that he's got the cupboard stocked for next year, and he's just going to keep right on going.
You know, and let's talk about Conference USA as it refers to basketball. Tulsa's still there, and they're rebuilding. I mean, there's nothing – they're good. They're going to be good.
North Texas – not starting off as hot as they want, but they've got a legitimate NBA forward on their roster. They've been better in basketball in recent years. If you see Western Kentucky get added for 2014, they're going to be a team to deal with in basketball, obviously.
UTSA was in the tournament 2 years ago.
Yeah, UTEP's always pretty good at basketball.
Pretty good.
Southern Miss is up and down, but they've been –
Did you just say good. UTEP's pretty good at basketball?
Yeah, I mean – they're not. I don't think they're on the same level as some of these other teams.
They just got a commitment, or they got a signee from one of rivals that's 4 or 5-star players. Tim Floyd can flat recruit.
I forgot Floyd was there, so maybe they're on the way up even more than I thought they were. But
yeah, Tim Floyd is a coach at UTEP, of course, a Tech alum. They're doing big things at UTEP.
Yeah, so they're on the way up, obviously, then, and there's going to be some teams to contend with, but you don't have to travel all the way to the West Coast. You don't have to play against 10,000 screaming fans at Utah State. You don't have to play at New Mexico State. I think it's easier to win with the travel and the environments in Conference USA. I really do. And I think Coach White's up to the challenge. I mean, I think it's going to be exciting. They're playing exciting basketball. They pressure people. We've had a lot of coaches here and at other schools, you hear them talk about, we're going to play up-tempo. We're going to get after people on defense. You know what? The Bulldogs get after people on defense. I saw the Little Rock game, the Monroe game. They're getting in people's faces. He's got these big, long athletes. You know, he brought in Chris Anderson and Jaron Johnson. These guys have the longest arms I've ever seen. They can basically scratch their knee standing up. And
longer than yours?
Oh, way longer. I mean, these guys are getting in the passing lanes, deflected. Speedy Smith deflects everything that's thrown in his general direction. They're getting up the floor, dunking on people. I mean, really exciting basketball. They really play up tempo. They really grind you out on defense. And that's their biggest asset. That's why they're beating these teams by 15 points, 20 points, is because of their pressure defense. They are relentless, and he'll play 11 guys typically each night. And I'm not just talking about garbage time, but, you know, during the course of the game, he'll play 11 guys, and he's just bringing them in 3 or 4 at a time and really running people to death.
You talk about that defense, Jason, and it just came up with their average points against. They're only giving up 57 points a contest.
Yeah, and it's not like they're playing the smallest schools in the world. It's not like you're seeing SWAC schools come in here or Texas Pan Am or anybody like that. I mean, Ohio Valley's typically really good. They played SEMO. They played Chattanooga from the Southern Conference. Played 2 Sun Belt teams. You know, they're playing some pretty good basketball teams, and they're handling them pretty well.
Now, and that, of course, the last game they played was against ULM. They won that game 68-52 in a game that they didn't play very well.
And they had the 21-0 run. They were up by 20 with about 6 or 8 minutes left. Quit pressing. Showed that they did have some weaknesses on defense in the half court. So, hey, maybe they'll just start pressing the whole game.
And ULM, of course, I mean, they gave them all they wanted in the first half. Tech didn't shoot the ball very well in the first half. It was 36-28 in the first half. And, of course, the final 68-52. So Tech was pretty balanced in scoring, but so was ULM in both halves. One thing that's concerning for me, Jason, is that they only have really 2 scorers, Tech does. If Raheem and CJ aren't scoring, who's going to step up and do the scoring? Against ULM, Appleby had 18, Johnson had 23. Everybody else in single digits.
Gibson's been averaging around 10 or 11. He's a similar player to CJ.
But Gibson only had one Saturday night.
Yeah, he can get you 15 if you need him to. He's in love with that three-point shot from the left wing. Sometimes he'll shoot it a little bit too often. But, hey, in their offense, if you're open, I think he wants you to shoot that wide-open shot. Just don't hold the ball and slow the offense down. Keep it going.
You look at the Southeast Missouri State. That's a good point you bring up, Jason, about Brandon Gibson. CJ had 15, Appleby had 21, and Gibson had 12. So they were your scorers. Everybody else is in single digits.
Now, potentially for the future, if somebody got hurt, if somebody fouled out, who do you look to pick up the slack? The freshman, Alex Hamilton, has not really had one of those breakout offensive games. I think he's going to be
coming.
It's coming. He's due. And then I really like both of these new guys, Chris Anderson and Jaron Johnson. Jaron Johnson's real smooth. He can get in the lane. And then Chris Anderson's dynamic. He will dunk on anybody that will try to challenge him. He loves to crash the boards. He's a slasher, and he's got long arms, big-time jumping ability. You know, he's not getting a ton of minutes right now. These guys are coming off the bench, helping out in the press. But, you know, this is their first five or six games with the program. I think the second half of the season, you'll see these guys playing a bigger role. I think it kind of hurts them that two of our best players play the same position,
yeah,
in Johnson and Brandon. And so they're limited a little bit in what they can do. But if you saw one of those guys get fouled out, I think Anderson or Johnson would step right in.
You talk about the new faces. Probably the guy that's been the biggest pleasant surprise to me is Gibby Talbot. Gibby hasn't seen much playing time, but when he gets in the game, he shows you a 6'10", 250-pound guy that has soft hands, has good footwork, and can finish close to the basket. How long has it been since Tech had a guy that can finish close to the basket?
I mean, they haven't had a guy that looks like him, that plays his way, since probably the mid-90s. And now I'm drawing a blank with the guy's name.
I was 10 years old in the mid-90s for everyone keeping Stuart.
Ryan Bond was played at a small school, came to Louisiana Tech, 6'9", and he could mix it up down low. He was thick like Gibby is. He wasn't a beanpole. But Gibby, yeah, he gets on that right block, turns, puts it over his left hand off the glass, real soft touch, and you can't really do much about the shot. He's pretty wide, and so he just gets his shoulders into you, and it's over. And he'll mix it up and get some rebounds too. I like his toughness, and I think probably going forward,
he's going to see more and more playing time.
Yeah, he'll be helping out, and you still got three more years of this guy, so
he's
really
exciting. He's a guy by his sophomore, junior year that he may not average double figures, but if a team wants to slow the game down and play a half-court set like ULM made Tech do in the first half, that's why the game was close.
Yeah.
That Coach White puts in, says, go down to the block, we're going to get you the ball, and do what you do.
Yeah, and, you know, we've had scores in the low blocks, you know, in the last several years. Obviously, Antonio Meeking, he was the Shaq of the WAC. I mean, the guy was dominant down low. Paul Millsap's in the NBA now, all-star, making millions of dollars. He wasn't as much of a low block, pound it.
Just a rebounding freak.
He's just a monster. He was going to rebound. He was going to get putbacks. He was going to get garbage plays. He was just a one in a million kind of player. But we haven't had a player like Gibby the way he's kind of built, I don't think, in a long time. And just having somebody that big is really helpful, that Coach White's got him on the bench and he can call on him when he needs him.
We're going to give these tickets away in the next segment to caller number, which number do you think we should do, Joe Dierte? It's up to you. Caller number 5, whenever we tell you to call in, caller number 5 will win this pair of courtside seats for Louisiana Tech's game tomorrow night at 7 o'clock against Southeastern Louisiana. Folks, are great seats. I mean, what more can you say than they're courtside? On the floor, you can't miss anything happening on the court. We're going to take a break. On the other side of the break, we'll talk a little basketball, a little Conference USA, little coaching search. This is Bleed. Tech. welcome back to Bleed Tech Blue Radio here on ESPN Radio 97.7. I am Jay Ford, publisher of BleedTechBlue.com. Send us an email, radio@BleedTechBlue.com, with any Louisiana Tech question you may have. Sonny Dykes, Conference USA, you name it, we'll answer it. Give us a call, Rustin Tractor Hotline, 888-993-7762. Call in now for the chance, caller number five, to win two free courtside seats to tomorrow's game against Southeastern. Visit one of our sponsors, National Jewelry, Dowling Smokehouse, Maxwell's Market, Greg Phillips State Farm, Fairway Carts, Tommy's Tees, and Rustin Tractor. Jason, I'm kind of jealous of these people's tickets.
Yeah, for real.
These are the kind of things you want to keep for yourself.
Yeah, maybe we'll maybe they won't show to pick them up, and we'll just come back and help ourselves.
I bet they show up.
Those are some dang good tickets.
But speaking of free stuff, Jason, Rivals.com right now. Sign up for an annual subscription to BleedTechBlue.com, and you'll get $99 of free gear, Louisiana Tech gear, for yourself.
Well, and this is when Jay Ford makes his money. This is when you want to be a subscriber more than any time. Obviously, Jay Ford covers his team better than anybody else during the season. But then you got December and January. This is prime recruiting time. You won't get any coverage anywhere else that's any better. And you might have coaching rumors, conference expansion rumors. So you're going to get all the dirt. Not Joe dirt. You're going to get the real scoop the next 2 months. So, hey, $99 of free gear, that's even better. Jump on it.
And get the scoop sometimes a week before most other outlets get it. We're right on top of it. Come give us a try. BleedTechBlue.com. Like I said, 1 year subscription gets $99 of free gear. And also, as a Christmas gift, we're selling gift subscriptions to Rivals.com.
Joe Dirt, we got a winner.
We have a winner. Bobby Ainsworth.
All right.
Bobby Ainsworth. So, congratulations, Bobby, winning the pair of courtside seats for the Southeastern game tomorrow night inside the TAC at 7 o'clock. But like I was saying, Jason, give a gift to a Tech fan in your life that wants to know the information as soon as they can. BleedTechBlue.com, give them a gift subscription, whether it's 6 months, a year, 3 months. Give them a subscription for Christmas.
Odds are, if you're listening to this show, you're a pretty diehard Tech fan. But if you don't feel like you're the kind of guy that has to know everything when it happens, I'm sure you know somebody that does. So, hey, hook them up.
And even if you don't, you really do.
You know you want to.
You know you want to know. But, Jason, your gut feeling about Sonny Dykes, what would you percentage chances that he's gone this offseason or in the next few weeks?
I would have put it – if it's going to happen, it's going to happen in the next 2 weeks. I would have put it at about 30%. But showing how gung-ho NC State is, and they're just jumping into this thing
– full bore.
Full bore, 100%. I'm jumping it up to about 60. I really think there's a lot of smoke to this fire, and I think we might just see it happen.
And, you know, Jason, it's not over for the Cal job. If NC State does choose to pass on Sonny, Cal's not fulfilled yet either.
And if Colorado steps up their game and gets that payout to around $2 million where it needs to be, they said
$2.5 million is going to be the upwards of where they're going to pay.
If they put an investment in their program, that could be a really good job.
I was told today by someone that Colorado is not currently presently interested in Sonny Dykes, but – of course, things change. Just think about how Derek Dooley ended up at Tennessee. Let's go to that Rustin Tractor Hotline on line one with Trey. Trey, what's going on, my friend?
Oh, not much. How are you?
Doing all right, buddy.
Getting your Christmas lights put out?
Yeah, trying to. My question is...
Yep.
You know, we saw Derek Dooley come stay for 3 years, have a little bit of success, move on. Now we have Sonny Dykes stay about 3 years. You know, and let's assume if he does leave, is this going to be, do you foresee this being a consistent pattern where Tech gets a coach in, the coach turns the program, changes the program, and maybe starts a winning program and, you know, recruits all these players for his and takes off and bolts to the next better job? Do you foresee this being a pattern, or do you think we can ever settle down and have a coach like a Boise State, Chris Peterson?
I think Peterson is the exception. I mean, Peterson is the exception. I mean, they've upped his pay a lot. Tech has done a good job of getting the head coaching pay from around $250,000 to up to $350,000 or $400,000. Now it's up to $750,000. You know, Tech's doing a good job in investing in the program. They're getting the facility started.
They're paying the assistants better.
They're paying the assistants better. The head coaching salary is getting on up there. If they get it up over $1 million, you know, that next coach, he might stick around for a few years. He might be like a Peterson or like Jeff Bauer was at Southern Miss. He likes it here. And I think Coach Dykes could be that person. But then again, you never know. I think Dooley would have stayed longer than 3 years had Tennessee not come calling. It just, you know, you might get a guy in here that has all the intentions in the world to stay in, but if some big school comes in with $3 million, it's hard to say no to that, you know. And
I personally think, Trey, and you and I have talked about this on a personal level, that I think this is a good problem to have, and I think it's going to if you want to call it a problem, I think it's going to continue because that's just the nature of non-AQ football. You look at outside of Chris Peterson, who I think will get hired away this coming offseason. This will be the I don't think he'll be back at Boise next year. That's a gut feeling I have that he takes either the Cal job or the Arkansas job. But
he may take the Cal job. He might be waiting on Kelly to leave Oregon and go to the NFL.
Oregon's OC is probably going to get that job. But anyway, I think that's just what happens. You look at Southern Miss. It happened with Larry Fedora. The list goes on. When somebody has success at the non-AQ level, I mean, look at even at Houston.
Even at the AQ level, there's always somebody else out there that can pay more than you. And even if you're at a big school, one of those 10 giant schools like Alabama, USC, Ohio State, even then the NFL can come calling. So there's always somebody. We saw, we've seen big schools like Oklahoma State's coach, Les Miles, got hired by LSU. So even a team from the Big 12 lost their coach. You're going to get hired away eventually. It's what Tech's doing. Tech has to make the job here more attractive by getting better facilities, better chance to win, and paying better. They're doing a great job of that. The pay has tripled in about 6 years. Keep getting that up there. Keep investing in the program. You'll get better candidates wanting the job, and you'll have a better chance to keep them.
And honestly, the biggest thing that Tech fans can do is buy season tickets, give to LTAC, and get the more people that are in the seats at the stadium. If tickets ever get to a premium, and Trey, as you know, in this world, when things become a premium, prices go up, and the more profit they make. So that's the only way to fix it is to have more money. So I hope that answers your question.
Appreciate it.
Thanks, Trey. We got another one on line two, Clay. Clay, what's going on?
Not much. Kind of want to go a little different direction here. Give me some thoughts about how early Tech recruiting is going.
Early Tech recruiting. You know, it honestly was a little slow, but it's going as well as can be expected, I think.
Well, and this is prime junior college. Get the guys in here that are graduating in December. Wouldn't sign a day, Jay, for December 15th for junior college players. You want to get the guys in here that are graduating in December that can come participate in spring football. So they're out hitting all the JCs in California, Texas, Oklahoma, Kansas, trying to find guys that can come in here and help immediately. They've got to get some guys in here that have experience that can replace Patton and White. You're not going to replace Quentin Patton, but you got to get somebody to fill that role. Got to get pass rush help, obviously defensive back. So, I mean, you might see 7 or 8 guys at least being signed in December. They've got one commitment, a Shreveport native, Bossier City native, a defensive tackle from Kilgore College, D'Angelo Brooks, 300-pounder, former state wrestling champion here in Louisiana. But, yeah, you're going to see more junior college guys. And then I think after Christmas you'll see them turn their attention back more to the high school kids. They got about, 10 or 11 commitments right now.
They lost one yesterday when Jed Barnett, the punter commitment, committed to Oklahoma. So they have lost one in the last few days.
But, you know, if they sign 7 or 8 JCs this month, you're only looking at it maybe 7 or 8 total spots left to close with. And, you know, they're going to try to be selective and close with the highest profile kids they can.
Well, Clay, what's that?
I was going to say, is there a North Louisiana kid or two over in this part of the state they're looking at?
More Shreveport right now. Caleb Tucker at Washtenaw is one that they're looking at, but really North Central and Northeast Louisiana, not as much.
Okay. One last thing. Bryce, the kid from Ruston, how did he look this year?
He played on special teams mostly. I wouldn't be surprised if he gets in the game at the bowl game. So we should see more in the bowl game. But he showed off the speed that he has and made a lot of tackles on special teams.
And I think the future is now. I mean, next year you're going to see Bryce, Adaris Barnes, Lloyd Grogan. These guys are going to be making huge impacts in the secondary. I wouldn't be surprised to see all three of them starting.
Okay, appreciate it.
Thanks, Clay. A little bit of developing news, Jason. New Star reporting.
Breaking news.
Sonny Dykes will interview for the North Carolina State job tomorrow, leading more and more into your timetable.
Yeah, it's just a
tomorrow,
formality.
It's a formality. Tomorrow, I imagine, at that Board of Trustees emergency meeting, they're going to approve his hire.
Next week, we will do what we did 3 years ago and try to find the next Sonny Dykes.
Well, unfortunately, next Tuesday, I believe the Lady Texans are playing. So we will not be on the air. We'll try to come in and do a podcast special to go out on the web. You and I will meet up this during the week next week, and we'll get a coaching search one out. But even if we aren't, BleedTechBlue.com will have the most information on the search. We'll tell you what all of our sources are telling us, talk about all the possible candidates if this does happen this week. For Jason Jones, Joe Dirt, I am Jay Ford, publisher of BleedTechBlue.com. Check us out. 7-day free trial. Annual subscription gets $99 of free gear.